This is the Best Run Podcast, brought to you by SAP.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's edition of the Best Run Podcast, brought to you by SAP. Today, we have a number of guests with us. We have Evan Mantis, who's the Executive General Manager of Consumer Finance and Service Industries for SAP ANZ. We have Lizzie Creed, who's the People Manager for NTT Data Business Solutions. And Carly Pacey-Toro, who's the Head of Enablement for Supplier Services for SAP ANZ. And today we're going to be talking about how we can build an inclusive workplace for LGBTIQ. So we're very excited to have all three of you here. And what I'd like to do is to really get a bit of background from each of you as to what you've done in your past and then what brings you to this point to be on this podcast. Evan, shall we start with you?
Well, I just ticked over 15 years at SAP. So at the beginning of June, and the last 10 and a half of which have been in Australia. I've had the real honour of being the executive sponsor of Pride at SAP for ANZ since 2015. And really looking forward to speaking to everyone today.
Thanks, Evan. How about you, Lizzie?
So I've been with NTT Data Business Solutions in Australia for the last 4.5 years. And my role has very much been a generalist people manager role, but I have a huge passion towards the diversity and inclusion topic. And I've been learning a lot myself over the last few years. So that's kind of got me to where I am today with that focus.
And Kylie, yourself?
Yeah, thanks. I've been with SAP for 10 years. It's funny, Evan, you said that you just ticked over 15 years. I ticked over my 10 years yesterday, so I'm pretty excited about that. I joined the company in the world of education, but I've moved into internal communications, and I also do the culture and diversity for my team as well. So I've been with Pride at SAP for about 5 years and never been happier, never been prouder to work for a company than SAP.
Let's start by talking about building an inclusive workplace. Evan, can you please share with us why it's important for companies like SAP to have an inclusive workplace culture?
Yeah, I'll sort of start with probably what, you know, the human perspective and, being the right thing to do. But I think we'll all agree on that front. But just to say, SAP has a number of initiatives around diversity and inclusion. So the Business Women's Network, as an example, Autism at Work. And then one of the other areas that I also co-sponsor, which is around culture and identity. But, you know, referring to Pride specifically, you know, often what we found through, you know, our research is that very often our employees that identify as LGBT, you know, often come out at work before they do at home. So it's absolutely critical that the workspace allows our employees to be their authentic selves. You know, one thing that has shown and been very clear over the last few years in the Great Place to Work survey that SAP has been part of is that our employees who do identify as LGBT have had a higher than average engagement score than other SAP employees, which has been fantastic and really helped us, you know, achieve, you know, an improved position each year in Great Place to Work up to third in 2020. That aside, you know, the business benefits of an engaged and diverse workforce is also clear, just both in terms of productivity improvements, in terms of innovation and creativity. And probably as important as anything is if you're known as a company that is inclusive, it helps you attract the best talent. So there are a multitude of reasons. And, you know, I'm really pleased to work and grateful to work at a company like SAP that has such a strong focus on diversity and inclusion.
So, Lizzie, tell us what NTT Data Business Solutions is doing to support your LGBTIQ community within your workplace. And what are some of the internal programs that you're running to educate employees in general on diversity and inclusion?
Sure. So, diversity and inclusion at NTT has many pillars, and LGBTQIA plus is one of those pillars. So as a diversity and inclusion strategy, I think as Evan alluded to as well for SAP, you know, we have a broad diversity and inclusion strategy. And in the past, the focus for us has been more around gender, but it's absolutely brilliant to see that we have another pillar growing and gathering attention, and that is the LGBTQIA plus pillar. In the past, all the different countries of NTT Data Business Solutions have kind of been working and doing their own thing independently. And so an example of that for us in Australia, last year, we really shone the spotlight on the LGBTQIA plus community. And we ran, during Pride Month last year, we ran an event kickoff. We did a trivia. We had keynote speaker from actually Evan on the call, who came to us and explained and highlighted some of the things that SAP had done when they first started their focus and community. We did an education campaign linked to our values. So that was pushed out throughout the whole of Pride Month. We sent gifts to our people to jog their memories throughout the month that this is what we're still focusing on. And at the end of the month, we came together and we celebrated what makes me me in an event that shares and celebrates what makes us all unique. So that was a kind of one of the first things that we did. Since then, well, I guess I also know that other countries, NTT countries, are doing their own thing individually as well. For example, Cincinnati in the USA, they're actually taking part in Pride Month, increasing their visibility and celebrating together, which is brilliant. I'm really excited to share that this year we have got global executive support from our NTT Data Business Solution colleagues, and we have for the first time come together globally to champion this. We have dedicated diversity and inclusion roles in the business to focus on this strategically and to drive that strategy. So for this year, we've come together globally to do a global kickoff. We introduced our exec sponsorship, which goes all the way up to the board in Japan, as well as our local global leadership. We've done some basic learning, tried to take away some of the fear around what actually LGBTQIA plus is, reinforce the need to listen, reflect, and understand our gaps and focus. We've launched a grassroots community with dual purpose. So we've looked at supporting people individually in a private forum, as well as having a purpose that directs education and awareness to a broad group of people. So people can learn along with us. We've had a keynote speaker from Constantine Hoffman, who very kindly shared his story with us around transitioning in the workplace. And that really was an incredibly courageous story and incredibly insightful for everybody to listen to. And we were completely in awe of how Constantine shared that with us and learned a huge amount. So the real stories from real people is definitely a theme that NTT Data Business Solutions wants to continue with. We have followed up this kickoff event with a Did You Know campaign, again, going out through our social channels, pushing out to people to educate and build awareness of this community. And it's a time for NTT Data Business Solutions now to globally move beyond just the Pride Month and focus on this strategically and for our future, which is really exciting.
Sounds like you've been very busy and really like the idea of celebrating the individualism. That's awesome. Now, Kylie, from an SAP employee perspective, what advancements have you seen within the business to promote the awareness of the LGBTIQ plus community within the SAP workplace?
Well, this year, Pride at SAP are actually celebrating 20 years in SAP, which is phenomenal. But I'd have to say there's more exposure and understanding now than there's ever been in this space. We have so many events and so much information and resources out there that people can either source on our Jam page or attend an event and perhaps get more information about something that they perhaps didn't have all of the information on before. We've had things like World AIDS Day. We had drag bingo last year, and that was hosted by a local Sydney drag queen named Prada Clutch. We have campfire chats, which is where employees can ask the questions they've always wanted to know the answers to, but perhaps have never had the right setting or the right opportunity to ask. We've had lots of D&I company training, which is amazing to get people in a room together. This is obviously pre-COVID, where we could sit down and actually have discussions about things that were happening. And even more subtle things like the signature pronoun banners that are available on the SAP Jam page, the Pride Jam page. That's amazing, just to be able to actually put that on your signatures so people are aware of your pronouns before they go into conversations with you. I mean, during COVID, it has been a little bit harder for us not to be in person. But last year at Purple Day, we had cookies that we decorated, and we had a virtual event where we did this in person. Like, you know, we could decorate our cookies, and that was really, really important to share. One thing I'd love to note is that recently I was asked if using the term guys when addressing a group was an appropriate term. And it was only a small question, but I've never been prouder of SAP than the ability to be able to ask those questions. And that's why this has grown, is that people now feel comfortable to ask and to receive the answer as well.
Now, Evan, you mentioned you're the executive sponsor for Pride at SAP. Tell us what feedback employees have shared with you about the program and how big is it globally?
So firstly, I just wanted to allude to, you know, what Kylie mentioned, that it's the 20th year anniversary of Pride at SAP, you know, for ourselves in 2021, which is fantastic. And just to say, just wanted to look back to when I was first took on the sponsorship role in 2015, because at the time we didn't actually have Pride at SAP established in ANZ, but one of our colleagues at the time, Wallace Corey, who I'd had a lot of connections and contacts with from a business context, mentioned that he wanted to start it and asked me to, you know, become exec sponsor. And at the time, I was delighted that he had thought of me. I was also moving into a leadership role at the time and was, you know, very keen to look at areas where I could add value to the business, you know, outside of my day job. So not only was I passionate about supporting Wallace and Pride, but it was also a really exciting time to be involved, you know, in something that was in its inception phase in ANZ, and where I was able to make a difference. And if you think back to 2015, it was a time that was pre-marriage equality. So we had absolutely had an anchor initiative to go after, and there was plenty to do. But one of the things that, you know, if we talk about globally, Pride at SAP extends to most of our regions and market units. Unfortunately, sadly, and this is something that just shows that we have a lot more to do, is that there's still so many countries, including countries where SAP has market units, where people don't enjoy the freedoms that we do in ANZ and most parts of North America and Europe. So plenty for us to do and to focus on. It was interesting, Kylie also, you know, referenced the Wear It Purple event that we had last year, which was clearly put for the first time with COVID, was a virtual event. But the great thing about that was that, and probably the only great thing about not being in person, was that we ended up inviting people from a lot of our employees from a lot of those countries where they're not able to celebrate in the same way that we do here. So although it was a virtual event, we were able to extend it, you know, beyond our borders, which I felt really, you know, helped the feeling of inclusion and enabled us to spread the message more effectively.
Thanks, Evan. So let's transition to talking about the coming out journey. Kylie, from your own experience and from the others that you've talked to about LGBTIQ+ community, what are some of the challenges that need to be overcome so that, you know, you feel comfortable in the workplace environment?
Yeah, this one was interesting to sort of dive into, and I had to retrack my memory back quite a bit for when I joined SAP and even other roles. But the first one would be coming out. So whether to come out publicly, so during a meeting or a company function, or whether you come out privately to just your manager and fellow colleagues. Now, this decision can play on your mind, and it makes it hard to concentrate on work and other things. So it's one that you either need to choose to or not to. And if you choose not to come out, there's the added pressure to act straight. Now, this is even more exhausting. Trying to be something that you're not all the time around people is hard work. But then we need to think about how we would interact with our customers. You know, when customers ask me how my husband is, do I answer them? Do I just go along with it? Do I correct them? Like, what's the correct move to make in that sort of situation? And, you know, it really depends on what your further relationship is going to be with that person, because if you're going to continue having conversations, do you have to keep playing that game? You know, if you started down a track, are you going to have to stay down that track? There's also the pronoun game. Now, this is something that a lot of people do to avoid that that situation, and that's to remove pronouns from the discussion at all. So when someone asks me how my husband is, I might say they're fine, or you know, they do this. So we've taken pronouns out of conversations altogether. So they're quite personal ones, and they're definitely ones that people need to decide themselves on how to approach. But what's really great about being in a company where this is very out and open, that SAP accepts and understands the LGBTIQ plus community, means that you don't have to have that pressure if you choose not to.
Thank you, Kylie. Lizzie, what do you think are some of the ways that organisations can make their employees feel safer and more accepted in the workplace?
Yeah, I think this is a really important one for all organisations to be thinking about. And I think there's a couple of things that stand out as important starting points. So focusing on policy, you know, really understanding what language you're using. For example, removing gendered language, perhaps including transitioning under a sick policy. Just being aware that your policies can give different messages to different people and making them more inclusive. Also looking at your benefits, the community, the LGBTQIA community might benefit more from the option of having some coaching support rather than a gym membership, and allowing that choice and option and freedom could be something to think about. I think actually one of the most important things, especially when you're starting out on this journey as an organization to be more inclusive, is to actually look to understand your people and what is being felt across your business, and perhaps use some data points to uncover the problem before identifying how you're going to make a solution, and actually involve people in that solution. Maybe you can test or pilot a new way of working with a particular audience. Is there a people experience survey that you're running in your organizations that minority communities can, you know, they perhaps might show a different score? It's fantastic to hear that actually the LGBTQIA score at SAP is higher than the average general. So that's great. But these kind of data points might give you an indication of where is most important to start. And you can update some of your business practices around that. So, for example, how are your meetings being run? What mental health awareness and workshops have you got? I think regular sharing and active communication and training around behaviours, what's acceptable in the workplace, and also what would be the consequences of unacceptable behaviour, and really stand by and role modelling those things. I think training is a big thing, unconscious bias, language used in job descriptions when you're coming up with roles that you're going to market for. How are you going to attract the best talent is by actually using language that is inclusive for all people. Group communication and understanding of pronouns, which we've spoken about today, including training at various points in the employee life cycle. It's not just here or there. It's actually, you know, all of the people processes you have, your recruiting, your development, your onboarding, all of those kinds of points in an employee life cycle would have benefits of being more inclusive. And I think the most important message I think I can give out at this point is that you don't have to do it alone. For me as a generalist, I'm not an expert in it, but I can actually look to collaborate with people, leverage information that's available to me, whether it be through partners or vendors and other community groups like Pride and Diversity and the Diversity Council Australia. They offer great guidance and resources, and can look at, you know, the foundations of building blocks to a more inclusive workplace.
Thanks, Lizzie. Kylie, just circling back to you, can you tell us how you think it might have helped your career by working in an organisation that supports LGBTIQ plus employees to be themselves at work?
Yeah, definitely. The big one is I can be me. And I can't stress I can't stress this point enough. The ability to be my authentic self at work means I can give my all to my role without any hesitation at all. So because without being able to do that, you do have a lot of blockers in place. You have to think about everything that you're doing, and it's a constant worry that someone will catch you out, and it's tiring. So a lot of people can be held back a lot simply from those factors. So just being able to be me has been huge. My whole team knows my wife and my children. They've seen them grow up, and there's nothing more beautiful than to be able to have conversations about that without worrying that I'm being judged for it, or without having to reword the way that I need to tell the story. So I can just tell you the story as it is. I can't encourage other workplaces enough than to be part of to be supportive, I should say, of the LGBTIQ community and their employees.
So now we've talked about what constitutes support in what we've seen at SAP and NTT Data Business Solutions. What are some of the key actions that organisations perhaps aren't as far down the track can do to show support for the LGBTIQ plus community, Kylie?
Yeah, this comes down to communications, the first one. That's the top one. And it needs to be really clear, and it needs to be to all employees. It can't just be sort of the top executives, and it can't just be the people that are doing the job with someone from that community. It needs to be everyone. And it needs to be very clear, and the stance of the company needs to be that where their support sits. If there's discrimination in the workplace, it needs to be taken seriously. Lizzie, I think you touched on this before. If something happens, how is it handled? It will be seen. If it's just brushed off, then that speaks volumes above and beyond anything that can be written down or any training that can happen. If something happens in the workplace, how is it handled? Encouraging a gender-neutral workplace. Now, this is a very hard one to do. We're sort of in the early stages of this. We're starting to see conversations happen between people using terms such as partner instead of husband or wife, for example, encouraging employees to really adopt their own pronouns. So if they perhaps don't fit into the binary he, him, she, her, to really encourage them to advise people of that. And if not that, then trying to remove pronouns from discussion, like I said, with partner instead of husband or wife. So really sort of looking at how things are portrayed out there and really putting that best foot forward. So showing the support, not just saying it.
Evan, what are some of the initiatives that Pride at SAP has run internally for LGBTIQ plus employees to participate in?
Yeah, and just to touch on Pride and Diversity who Lizzie referenced earlier, but they've been absolutely unbelievable. And in particular, Nikki Elkin, who has engaged with us since 2015, has really been a pillar of strength when it's come to structuring ourselves and the initiatives that we run. And that's everything from, HR policies that we've put in place. One example being how we make sure that people who identify as LGBTIQ+ do not or aren't excluded from just basic things like parental leave. So that's been absolutely fantastic. We've had many internal awareness days, and we've referenced already Wear Purple, which has been celebrated across most of our offices. We most recently have introduced a diversity corner in our Sydney office up on level 11, and just recently had a neighborhood party there. And we're also having a number of sort of joint initiatives and functions with others in our building, such as Qualtrics and Microsoft. Some of the other things, though, is we've engaged with our partners. And again, with Lizzie, I was lucky enough to speak to, the leadership group at NTT across APJ last year. So which was fantastic in helping them build their sort of pride initiative. But, we've also, in the past been sponsor of Pride in Auckland and Wellington, and also sponsored an event with the Sydney Gang Lesbian Business Association in just prior to lockdown, which was fantastic. So looking forward to us being out of lockdown again and being involved in a lot more of these types of events in person.
Lizzie, we talked about the supportive network, but obviously having the leaders in an organisation show support is very important. Talk us through how NTT Data Business Solutions leaders show support for the LGBTIQ plus employees.
Yeah, sure. So I think leadership is a critical piece to bringing this all to life. And they are really responsible for creating the environment that people feel safe and included in. I think it's important how leaders use their privilege to impact the group positively. And a big part of that is learning how to be an ally. And I think in terms of ALLY, I'm going to use an acronym because it helps me remember all the different things and spaces that our leadership are, the roles that they are performing here. But just to provide context for that, I think it's important for people who are listening to this and thinking about this from, you know, the embryonic, the very beginning of their journey, is to think, okay, inclusion is a difference that is embraced as giving a sense of belonging. Equity is really around acknowledging that the playing field isn't level. And then how do we look at allyship as a way of rebalancing that playing field and closing that gap? And so in terms of our leadership at NTT Data Business Solutions, there's advocating and amplifying voices that have been potentially marginalized in the past. And, you know, that the grassroots community I spoke about earlier is a real pivotal platform for us to do that and to educate and make everybody aware globally in the organization that this community exists. It's important. And this is what it means and what we need to do to raise its profile. And make people feel more included, of course. Executive sponsorship, being visible and being loud. This is the year that we've really seen that presence grow, and it's fantastic. You see the creation of roles specifically focused and driving D&I globally. The second thing is our leadership needs to be able to listen, to build trust. And I think on a global scale, sometimes that's tricky. So we use an interactive audience engagement tool where you can poll questions and get a real broad understanding. So we've polled recently a few questions around how people want to use the grassroots community so we can make sure we're staying close to and relevant to the people it's impacting. We're staying close to our people. That's, you know, the ultimate role of leaders is to stay close to their people and offer EAP, our employee assistance program, should they need that. I think leadership in this respect is quite tricky because leaders wear many hats, but a leader has to also recognize when the need from somebody goes beyond their area of expertise. But keeping close, I think, is an important part of understanding what support you can give. Learning to expand awareness. We've got LinkedIn Learning licenses that we push content out to our people around how to build more, be more inclusive in meetings and in general in leadership capacity, running education campaigns. And also one that we started a couple of years ago and are rolling out is TetraMap, which is a behavioral preference tool. But it actually speaks to changing mindsets, and it speaks to creating a mindset that diversity is a strength and that actually we need differences within our teams in order to be successful. And how do we flex our own behavioral preferences to include those of others and to speak to those who are different to ourselves and seeing that as a strength? So I think that's a good foundational building block to an inclusive mindset. And then I guess yielding to a group you're trying to help so they can help you help them. And that's the real stories from real people and raising the grassroots channel so that people feel safe to speak up and talk to their leaders. And just going back to a point Evan made earlier around when you do make this global, one of my observations from our global calls is that for the countries that aren't able to speak up and be heard as we are in Australia, it gives them a sense of belonging to a broader group as well. And that was a really strong theme that came across. So I think for us, it's going to be important to continue this in a global platform so that we can include those people who potentially aren't safe to be themselves in their own countries, which is really sad.
Yeah, great idea with the global aspect there, Lizzie. Now we're coming close to wrapping up, so I just wanted to get some final thoughts or comments from any of you before we close. So Evan, anything from you?
Yeah, thank you. And I just wanted to go back to the point that Lizzie made about being visible and loud and having, you know, global executive sponsorship. So in the 20th year of Pride at SAP, we now have a board sponsor in Julia White, which is fantastic. I love seeing the, you know, the LinkedIn posts from our global CEO, Christian Klein, going out around, you know, celebrating Pride Month at SAP. You know, we're running a lot of psychological safety training across our leadership in ANZ at the moment, which is absolutely critical that all our leaders are, you know, comfortable in talking about, you know, all sorts of diversity and inclusion topics. From a personal perspective, I'm incredibly proud to be associated and have been associated with Pride at SAP since 2015. Personally, I've never stopped learning. Not a week or a month goes by without me becoming more aware of the challenges that are faced by our Pride community. And just wanted to call out that, you know, once again, that there's so much more to be done globally, and that we have the opportunity in Australia and New Zealand to be role models for the rest of our region, if not the world. So lots more to do. It's an exciting time, and I'm delighted with the progress we've made, but look forward to a strong future together. So thank you to all.
Thanks, Evan. Carly, some insights from you?
No, I'd probably just echo what Evan has just said. But it's, you know, it's a really, really crucial point in our history to be part of the diversity and inclusion that's happening. It's very, very loud at the moment. And being part of it with SAP is, this is the right time, right? So to anyone who's listening, perhaps that has questions, I think it's a really good chance to step up and ask them. There are a lot of things that perhaps have been taboo to ask previously, or perhaps there's been an uncomfortability to it, but not anymore. You know, now's the right time, and it's the right moment for you to step up.
And Lizzie, any parting thoughts from you?
I just think it's fantastic that we're able to have this conversation. And I think everybody, no matter your individual circumstances or your organizational circumstances, that you're going to be at different points of the journey in terms of your own self-awareness and situation. And I think having empathy and also putting some skin in the game as an ally to try and make a difference and to try and close the equity gap is something that we can all look to do. And I look forward to a future where we continue to do that. And just thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
It's been a really engaging discussion. Thank you so much, all three of you. So, Evan, I can see you're bursting to add something else to the discussion. Yes. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Rajenka. And just wanted to have a huge shout out to Delia and Nick, who have ably taken on the running of Pride at SAP and ANZ since Wallace Corey left for the last couple of years. I absolutely love working with them. They're legends, and I just welcome every single time I'm with them.
And yeah. Nick's part of the marketing team, so I'm a little bit biased there too. Thanks very much, guys. If you'd like to find out more, please reach out to us on sap.com. We'll be happy to answer any questions. Thank you for listening to the Best Run podcast, brought to you by SAP.
You've been listening to the Best Run podcast, brought to you by SAP.